Good morning, friends. It is again our great joy to be with you in your home, in your car, wherever you are, just to have a little chat with you on the Word of God. I want to say it's no hardship for me to come here and talk to you about the Savior and about this wonderful book that God has given to us, the Holy Scriptures. And as you know, we're going through the whole Bible, that is, through the whole New Testament, book by book. And now we're in the Gospel through John, and we're in the fourth chapter. I'm giving a little more time to John because it's so wonderful that I want to give it to you. We're dealing with the fourth chapter where Jesus Christ is declared the water of life. He has met a poor Samaritan woman, a woman who was a sinner, who was hungry for something that she didn't have. She knew she was a sinner, and she didn't have to be told she was a sinner. What she needed was a revelation of God. Now to Nicodemus, the religious leader, he had to be told that he was no good, that he was born wrong and needed to be born from above. But not the Samaritan woman. She needed a revelation of God. You know, I'm very certain, and I'm going to say this very frankly. I have dealt with hundreds of people. And to me, the astounding thing is the ignorance of the average person concerning the person of Jesus Christ. I believe that too many people have a distorted idea of the person of Christ and the marvelous provision he has made for men and women to know him. For example, he said to this woman, "He that drinketh of this water," he's talking about natural water there in the well, "shall thirst again." You've got to come every day to be satisfied. "But if you drink of the water that I shall give you, you'll never thirst. It'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And just these past few days, I have been talking to people. And again, I've been faced with a situation. They know so little of the real gospel, the good news from God. I repeat it. Most people have a misconception of Jesus Christ, the one who came and died and rose again and has been exalted to be a prince and a savior. They know so little of the wonderful gospel of the grace of God. It's all distorted in their minds. People have an idea if they're only religious, or if they live a little better, or if they had the faith of somebody else. No, friend. Listen. God knows that you can't save yourself. Can I repeat that? God knows that you cannot save yourself. God knows you can't do anything to save yourself. If you could save yourself, there would have been no need for Jesus Christ to have come and died for you. And then there are another great group of people who declare that they have their own way of salvation. They have their own religion. All right. But my friend, it's a religion of death, of judgment, of wrath. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the way thereof are the ways of death. Listen, if God is going to save people, if God is going to have a people with him through eternity in the glory, God has a right to say what that way is. And Jesus said to this dear woman, "Woman, if you only knew who was talking to you, you would ask of him, he would give you living water." And she said to him, "Where have you got this water?" And then the Lord Jesus said a very strange thing. He said, "Go and call your husband." Now you see, he has her interest. He's been talking about something she wants, water, living water. She wants to be satisfied. And the things of the earth and things of the world and of the flesh and people have not satisfied her heart. "Where do you have this water?" Jesus said, "Go and call your husband." "I don't have any husband." "That's right. You've had a number of husbands. The fellow you're living with now is not your husband." "Sir, you're a prophet." Now then comes the revelation, first of all, of the woman. She could have said to Jesus, "Go and mind your own business." Her conscience is awakened. She stands in the presence of her judge. As I say, she could have said to him, "Go and mind your own business. Why bring that up? Why bring my sin out into the open?" No. He didn't condemn her, but he manifested wonderful grace. I tell you, my friend, any sinner who comes into the presence of the Son of God will find grace waiting for him. He did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. We found this in Luke's Gospel, you remember. He's the one who forgives the sinner. He's the one who seeks the sinner. He's the friend of sinners. He justifies the sinners. He's hungry to lay hold of sinners, as he said to the people of his day, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He came to call sinners to repentance. Oh, friend, listen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can meet your personal, individual need. I'm not asking you to become religious. I'm not asking you to be anything. I'm asking you to come into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Then you receive a new life. Then you receive the Spirit of God. Then you receive new things from him. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. The important thing is for you and me, if we haven't done so, is to come into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his Son. And this is what he's going to present to this dear, poor, sinful woman. The revelation of herself is laid bare in the presence of her judge. Now, following that, you have the revelation of the Father. Do you remember I said there are three revelations here? The revelation of the woman, she needs a Savior. The revelation of the Father. Woman, the hour is come and now is, when they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman had said, you Jews believe you ought to worship God in Jerusalem. We say we ought to worship God on this mountain. Jesus said, neither in this mountain, neither in Jerusalem. Places disappear before the God of all grace. Ah, wonderful. Wherever you are, it isn't a question of a church building or any religious group. It's a question between you and God. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a wonderful thing, this. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is looking for worshipers. Oh, you say God's looking for servants. No, he's got many servants. God is looking for good people to commend. No, he's not. He's looking for sinners to save. He's looking for worshipers. But how can I worship God? This is why Christ came. I remember a man saying to me one time, well, sir, he said, I'm not an atheist. I worship the God of creation. I look up into the heavens and I see all these wonderful things and I'm sure there must be a God somewhere. I don't believe in your Christ or your Bible, but I believe in God. And I said to him, sir, do you really believe in God? He said, sure I do, but not in your Christ, nor do I believe in your Bible. I said, well, all right, do you really believe in God? He said, you question my word? I said, no, I'm just asking the question. Do you believe in God? You really believe in God? Yes, I do. I said, do you worship him? That's a logical question. Do you worship him? He said, I don't know how. Then I said, let me tell you. No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. God is looking for worshipers. But listen, you can't worship God when you're in sin, in rebellion, in unbelief. The very first thing God wants of you, my friend, is to put your trust in his Son, to accept him as your Savior. Then you have access into the very presence of God. For Jesus Christ has removed the barrier between God and you. I repeat it, God is looking for worshipers. May I inject this? Am I talking to you, church member? You professing Christian, do you worship him? Or is your day so full of yourself and what you want, what you'd like, that you forget him? God is looking for worshipers. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Following this, we have the revelation of the Son. The woman said to Jesus, I know that when Messiah comes, who is called Christ, when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And the one whom the Jews rejected as their Messiah, as you have in the first chapter, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Here, a poor Samaritan woman, an outcast woman, in simple faith, accepts him as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Son of God. And the woman left Jesus and went into the city. I say she went to the well looking for natural water. She went back to the city full of living water. In fact, she left her pot behind. She became the living pot, full of living water. And she came to the men of the city and said, come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? May I close this morning by asking you the question, friend, are you a worshipper? Are you trusting the Savior? Can you say with the woman, he shall tell us all things? Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She bore testimony, and through that testimony, they came to know the Savior. Oh, friend, have you come into a relationship, into touch with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the water of life? I want to say to you this morning that you can know him. To know him is to love him. To know him is to serve him. To know him is to worship him. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I repeat it, places disappear before the God of all grace. Right where you are, in your own home, in your own car, on the street, wherever you may be, you as an individual trusting the Savior can have wonderful fellowship and relationship with God and worship him in spirit and in truth. And may even today, this day, be a day when you will really worship him. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.